through the sky and forms an arc around a rocky mountain peak. Paramount, a Viacom company. Shadows and dim coloured lights pass across flowery wallpaper in a dark bedroom. The shadow of a moth flutters across the wall. Paramount Pictures presents a Michael I. Levy production, a John Schlesinger film. The shadows and coloured lights emanate from a revolving children's nightlight. The moth flutters past a big teddy bear. A little girl cowers at the fluttering moth.
Coming!
Mommy!
Mommy!
Megan?
There's a moth, Mommy! There's a moth!
It's all right.
Mommy,
it's all right.
Kill it, Mommy! Please kill it! Kill it!
Her mother gathers the moth in her hands.
Kill it, Mommy! Please kill it!
The dark-haired woman, Karen McCann, leans out of the window and lets the moth go. She goes back in and closes the window. Across the road, someone walks among trees and watches the house. Sally Field, Kiefer Sutherland, Ed Harris, An Eye for an Eye, based on the novel by Erica Holzer. Screenplay by Amanda Silver and Rick Jaffa. Produced by Michael I. Levy. Directed by John Schlesinger. Next morning in her bathroom, Karen's doing her makeup while her husband, Mac, shaves.
No matter how early I start, I'm always late.
She wears a white slip and slim, balding Mac glances at her.
You all done?
Yeah.
Eyes, lips.
Yep.
Everything just the way you want it?
I think so.
You look great.
Thank you.
He pulls her towards him and kisses her, getting shaving soap all over her face.
Oh, wonderful. I won't be late today.
Où est le livre? Le livre est sur la table.
Le table.
Sur le table.
Do it again.
Le livre est sur le table.
Very good.
Le livre est sur le table.
Do I look like a fairy princess, Mama?
Yes, you do. You look just like a fairy princess.
Mm-hmm.
No, not to the party. Do you want crust on your sandwich?
No.
No crust on your sandwich?
Happy birthday.
I think I'm going to buy
Daddy! Oh,
my goodness. It's a beautiful fairy princess.
Good morning.
Can I have one of my presents now, please?
Let's wait for your party, okay?
You want a sandwich today, Mac?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, is that my shirt you're wearing?
Mais oui. C'est très chic.
Wearing a smart suit, Karen runs to a media museum.
Morning, Karen.
Morning, children.
Dolly's waiting.
Right. I'm always late.
Okay, here we go.
Old films and TV shows play on televisions as Karen and her assistant Dolly show a man around the museum.
Yes, well, obviously we're still a work in progress. Mm.
But we're sure that you can see its potential.
Yes, it's impressive.
Here you are.
No, thank you.
After you make your selection here, your choice will be punched up on one of the 57 monitors that are located in the three adjoining...
14 looks close.
12,000...
13's up. Jeremy, would you bring up the brightness on 13?
Sure.
Thank you.
The walkway that was right behind your room.
Get it to his office today because I want to be in that issue. All right.
Karen and Dolly's office.
What have we got?
One turkey.
Ooh, vegetarian.
Mustard?
On the turkey.
Oh, what a pal. Thank you.
What are we drinking?
Iced tea.
Nail. So I got the ice cream. The cake is being delivered. I'll make the... sweet and low.
Sugar, no lemon.
Ice sculpture will be there.
Ice sculptures?
For six-year-olds. You don't know these six-year-olds.
Karen's older daughter, dark-haired Julie, hangs pink and white bunting on the ceiling at home. Karen's buying inflated balloons in a party shop.
These and a few more red ones.
Traffic clogs a city street. Karen sits behind the wheel of one of the unmoving cars. Some people get out of their vehicles to try and see what the holdup is. Karen calls home on her mobile. Julie's sticking candles on a pink Barbie doll birthday cake.
Hello?
What are you doing home?
Skip soccer practice. I wanted to help set up.
Is Maria there?
I sent her and Megan over to the Hunsaker so the decorations would be a surprise.
Oh, you're such a sweetie.
Listen, I hate to tell you this. I'm going to be late. I'm stuck in some horrific traffic jam.
What else is new?
All right, all right.
Oh, did you pick up the balloons?
Got the balloons.
I had an idea about the streamers. I thought that maybe if we connected...
Honey, would you put some towels on the floor underneath the ice sculpture so it doesn't ruin the rug right now?
Yeah, hang on a sec. Someone's at the door.
Coming!
Hi.
Julie? What's happening? Julie! Julia! I hear you, Julie! I hear you! I'll get help, Julie! I'll get help! I'll hold on the phone! I will save you! Help me! Somebody help me!
Have you got a phone? Have you got a phone? Please!
Help me!
Move your car, lady!
You got a phone?
No, I don't. Move your fucking car!
A man attacks Julie.
Have you got a phone?
I need you to call the police! Have you got a phone? Julie, can you hear me?
I can't hear
me! Karen runs to a car where a guy's on his mobile.
Can you call the police for me, please? Help me!
He winds up his window.
Have you got a phone?
Yes, I do.
Oh, God. Can you call the police for me? Send yes, them to my house at 244 Eden Street in the Palisades.
Thank you.
Julie, I've got help. Can you hear me? I've got help. I'll get there, Julie. I'll get there! Help is coming, Julie!
Help me!
I'll stay with you! Can you hear me? Please, get away! I won't hang up the phone!
She trips over, dropping her phone.
No! Julie! No!
The attacker slams the ice sculpture onto Julie's head.
Julie!
The attacker picks up the phone.
Who's there?
Do you want something? Are you okay?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Taxi!
Karen's in a taxi on a city flyover.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again to dial. If you need help...
She dials another number on her mobile. Her house is now quiet, with water dripping off the table that had been prepared for the party.
Answer the phone, it's folks.
Julie lies motionless on the floor, her skirt hitched up over her bruised legs. Party decorations and smashed birthday cake litter the floor. The Barbie doll lies on its side by the cordless phone handset. A pool of water forms under the ice sculpture. Karen gets out of the cab and runs to the house. Police cars and an ambulance are parked outside.
Excuse me, ma'am. You can't go
it's
in there.
It's my house.
You can't go in there.
You gotta stay behind the line.
I live here. Oh, it's my
sorry,
house.
Ma'am. Please, ma'am. You don't want to go in there.
Julie! Is she all right?
Karen and Mac are in a detective's office.
I heard her.
Ma'am, do you remember what your daughter said to you on the phone?
I was supposed to have been there.
Do we have to be doing this right now?
I'm sorry, sir. It helps to get this as fresh as possible.
Honey, can you do this?
Yes, I can do this. I'm all right.
It's okay. Just try to remember anything you can.
I was talking to her on the phone about the, about the party decorations. And I cut her off, and she was calling me, and I couldn't get to her.
What are we doing here? Shouldn't you be out trying to catch this guy, looking for fingerprints or something?
Sir, this information is very important. Ma'am, did your daughter, your stepdaughter, sir, hang out with anyone who might have been involved with drugs?
No.
She was a straight arrow, officer.
Well, how about a boyfriend? Someone she just recently broke up with, even a year ago.
No, nothing like that.
She didn't have a car.
Come on, let's go.
Okay.
Let's get out of here.
All right.
She was a good kid.
Well, listen, if anything comes to mind, a name, a face, Like I said, somebody who might have had a reason for doing this. Please, give me a call, Mr. and Mrs. McManus.
Yeah, McCann.
McCann, I'm sorry.
Just catch this animal, will you?
I'm certainly going to be doing the best that I can. Shh.
The detective, Sergeant Joe Danilo, closes the office door. Headlights illuminate a residential street. Dolly and her husband Peter sit outside their house as a black SUV approaches.
Oh, here we go.
They stand up as the SUV stops, and Karen and Mac get out.
Hey, hey, buddy. Oh, Karen.
Dolly.
Karen, I'm so sorry.
Hi, Peter.
Mac?
Is Megan all right?
Yeah, she's fine.
I've got to call Larry. He's her father. He's got to know.
I'll call.
I don't even know how to find his number.
Karen, I'll take care of him, all right? Why don't you just...
I haven't talked to him in so long.
Let me take care of him. Where's Megan?
She's downstairs, asleep in our bed.
Karen and Mac open a bedroom door and look in at Megan, softly sleeping and still wearing her fairy princess costume. A fluffy rabbit toy sits beside her. Karen sits down on the edge of the bed, and Mac gently strokes Megan's blonde hair. He moves across to Karen and cradles her head against his chest. Next morning, Karen's asleep on the bed. Megan rocks her.
Mommy. Mommy.
Karen rouses.
You slept in your clothes.
Mac.
Come up.
Mac gets up from a couch in the next room. He takes Megan's hand and leads her out. Mac shushes her and points to Dolly and Peter sleeping on another couch. In the kitchen, Megan sits on a worktop as Mac takes a glass out of a cupboard and picks up a carton of orange juice.
Shake this up.
Hey. Hi, Mama.
Hi, sweetie.
Why do we sleep at Dolly's house?
Karen looks awkward.
Where's Julie? Did Julie sleep here too?
Karen turns away.
Julie,
Where is she?
Mac glances over at Karen.
Megan, sometimes things happen. Bad things. Even to the people we love the most in the whole wide world.
What happened?
Well, Julie...
Morning, everyone. Hello, little pumpkin. Good morning.
Morning.
How about some eggs, huh?
No, I don't like eggs.
How about English muffins?
No.
Smartly dressed guests wearing dark, solemn clothes are gathered at the McCann house for the wake. Karen mingles with the guests.
Sharon,
I don't know how
good to see you. Thank you for coming.
Deepest.
I appreciate it.
She bumps into Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It was my
Karen,
fault.
Let me see this up, really. Oh.
Peter dropped his plate and picks up his sandwich and nibbles. He walks off and Karen remains crouching, feeling the floor. Some kids are playing with a truck.
Oh, Karen, I'm so sorry.
Hello, Ethel.
She was our special girl, wasn't she, Karen? You've got to move on. You've got to be strong for Megan.
Thank you, Ethel. I'm a seat of the coffee.
How are you holding up?
Fine.
Fine. You heard anything from Larry yet?
Finally reached him. He was in Switzerland.
So he's on his way back?
Nope.
Oh, Karen, I'm sorry. Talk about deadbeat dads.
He never bothered much with her anyway. All those people out there, I gotta go.
She goes back into the living room.
Karen.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jean Forrest. I was Julie's... French teacher.
Oh, yes, Jean, I remember you.
The class made this for you.
Oh, thank you.
He gives her a card.
Julie's class.
That's good. I'm going to try some.
Eager for some chocolate cake, Aunt Flo slips on the toy truck.
Aunt Helen, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Peter and Mac help her to sit up.
What did she say?
Her name is Flo.
Aunt Flo, are you... Come on,
you.
Gregory, back to the chair.
My hip.
Let's get her some water or something.
Watching Aunt Flo, Karen's face crumples, but she's actually laughing. Guests watch with concern as she runs down the hallway and shuts herself in the loo. That night, Max asleep in their double bed. He wakes and rolls over and finds that Karen's side is empty. Soccer trophies, a team photo and medals decorate Julie's bedroom. Karen stands alone in the unlit room. She looks through an album, then folds up clothes on the bed. She picks an embroidered cushion up off the bed and looks at it. She holds it to her face and sobs. Mac and Megan are visiting a natural history centre. Making their way up a slope, Megan runs ahead onto a viewing platform.
Megan?
She runs over to the safety railing.
I hate it when she runs off.
Karen's pace slows and she looks uneasy. Megan is standing beside a tall, dark-haired, mustachioed man wearing a leather biker jacket and tartan trousers. He looks down at Megan, then turns round. Karen imagines her front door opening and him standing there.
Mommy! Daddy!
Megan's back down on ground level.
Mommy! Megan, wait for us!
We'll be right down!
Megan runs down a pathway flanked by trees and thick, leafy plants.
Megan?
Karen strides after Megan. A dark-haired, average-looking guy walks past and Karen imagines him at their front door. Megan runs into a museum, a middle-aged man in blazer and slacks walking behind her.
Megan? Megan? Megan, come back! Megan? Megan?
She grabs Megan in a corridor.
Ever run off so far ahead of us. Do you hear? Not ever.
Hey, you okay? Huh? Mommy just wants you to wait for us, all right? We want to see the skeletons too. All right?
Okay.
Mac puts her down.
He was right behind her.
Okay.
Don't treat me like I'm some neurotic.
And don't act like me.
She's all I've got left.
You got me too.
I know I do.
Megan's standing at a vast mammoth skeleton, and they stroll over to her. Karen walks through the busy police department and shakes hands with Detective Danilo.
Sergeant. How have you been doing?
I'm all right. I guess I was just wondering how the investigation was coming.
Well, the investigation is coming along very well.
Good. So what does that mean?
Well, why don't you take a seat?
Thanks.
He closes a folder of crime scene photos of Julie's battered, half-naked body and drops files onto it.
You don't want to know all the details, Mrs. McCann. It's just going to make it harder for you.
Sergeant, there's nothing you can possibly tell me that's worse than what I imagine.
Well, we've got a couple of leads on delivery guys who were in and out of your house that day. We're going to subpoena their blood. Oh, and we've got some samples of his skin from underneath her fingernails. Maybe not enough for DNA testing. Do you want me to stop?
She shakes her head.
Oh, and we've also got a medium sperm sample mixed with your daughter's blood. That's good evidence of forced... Well, anyway, that's about it for right now.
That's good, right? I mean, you're going to catch this guy.
Mrs. McCann, I feel real good about it. Real confident.
She looks at a jar of chocolates on his desk.
Sweet tooth?
Poor man's truth serum. Caffeine and sugar. You want one?
All right. Yeah. Truth serum, huh?
Oh, sure, you know. I confess, I did it, but please,
Don't tell my mother.
They both have a chocolate and smile at each other. Danilo opens a drawer and takes out a card. He walks around the desk, sits on the edge of it, and holds the card out to Karen.
This is a support group for parents who've lost their children to violence. Maybe it'll help.
She takes it.
You show me your heartbreak, I'll show you mine. What fun.
It's a rainy night.
You ready for this?
Honey, we're so late. Why don't we just do it in
the house? No. Come on, let's go.
They head into a church. A young guy talks to the group.
And this guy that killed her got out on bail. Bail, you know, so he's free to hang out with his friends. And my baby sister, she's gone forever, and I don't know how to deal with it. How are you supposed to deal with it? You know, how are you supposed to process this? You know, how do you forgive someone like him? I can't.
Allow
you think he forgives?
It's a fester in you, Tony.
Look, I hate to say it, but there's another kind of justice.
No, don't say that.
Look,
it won't
solve anything. Look, I'm Irish Catholic, and I know killing's a mortal sin. And I know my little sister's in heaven. And I want to see her again.
The young man, who has tied back hair and a goatee beard, breaks down and a lady gives him a tissue. A grey-haired woman with glasses and a woolen beret rubs his back.
Albert, you want to go next?
A bald man with glasses turns to his wife, who nods supportively.
Tim was 12 when a man named Dexter Winter shot him in the head. Winter was robbing a convenience store. Tim just happened to be there. His lawyer claimed he was a victim of child abuse. Got his conviction reduced from murder to manslaughter.
Jesus.
Manslaughter. Do they know what life is like without my son? Winter got paroled last week. He'll be on the street in 2 weeks. Here he is.
Albert holds up a photocopy of Winter's police mugshot. Another member of the group takes it for a closer look.
Francesca, dear, why don't you say something now?
When my son's killer got paroled, I planted a tree because I needed...
Come on.
I'm talking about healing.
But the killer is walking.
Holy healing
is... The killer
important.
Is walking.
I had to find a way to sleep at night.
Please, let's not start in like this. Please, just don't.
Let it go.
All right.
He's walking.
All right, everybody. Take it easy. Come on, calm down. All right. Everybody just take a deep breath.
Back at home, Megan's sitting on her parents' bed watching cartoons and eating a choc ice. She has the embroidered cushion resting on her lap. A large lump of choc ice drops onto the cushion. She tries to wipe it off but makes it worse.
Megan, 5 more minutes before bedtime, Nina.
She hides the cushion from the maid. At the church...
Listen, we've got some new petitions here. We need as many signatures as possible, so after you get your coffee... Bring it on over and sign these.
Karen passes a room where Albert and his wife are talking with another man.
You're not making it any easier, all right? Nothing is going to go wrong.
I was looking for the ladies' room.
Go back to where you came. Turn left at the exit sign. Bathrooms are at the end of the hall.
Thanks.
She heads back to the main group.
We're one club that hates to see new members. I'm glad to see you.
Thanks a lot.
Hi.
Hi.
So, this is your first meeting?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Pretty grim.
I'm Angel Kaczynski.
Karen McCann.
My grandfather was Polish.
So was mine.
Photos on boards.
Why are you here?
My son was killed.
So was my daughter.
I'm sorry.
Is he up here?
No.
Angel takes her purse out of her handbag and opens it.
It's him. That's Sean.
2 snapshots of a smiling, handsome boy aged about 7. It's early morning and Megan pads across the landing in her pajamas and steps into her parents' room. Mac and Karen are fast asleep, and Megan shakes Mac.
Daddy. Daddy. Daddy.
He rouses.
Get a cup of coffee.
No! I need to show you something.
She takes the embroidered cushion from under a chair.
Daddy, look what I did. I ruined it, Daddy. I ruined Julie's pillow.
You didn't ruin it. We can get that stain out.
Mama's gonna be very, very angry.
In the shower, Karen turns on the water and pulls the curtain closed. Megan's sitting at the breakfast table with Mac, who cuts a banana.
It's good for you. She likes to pass potassium in it.
I don't like bananas.
Okay. You want an apple?
Oh, God! Mac!
What?
Karen has the cushion.
She washed it. A killer. Maria washed Julie's pillow.
No, Karen, I washed it.
You washed it?
Yeah.
Mac, you ruined it. The smell is gone. There's nothing left. You can't get it back.
Stop it. Stop it. Megan dropped her ice cream bar on it and stained it. It was an accident. She didn't want to upset you, so we washed it.
Megan, I'm sorry.
Take it easy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go upstairs with her, okay?
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. McCann. This is Sergeant Danilo. Hello. Well,
Sergeant, don't hang up. I'm here.
Mrs. McCann, I just wanted to let you know we've arrested a suspect.
Who?
His name is Robert Dube. We picked him up at John's Market.
I use that market.
He's one of the delivery men whose blood we tested. It's a positive DNA match.
You got him?
We got him. I'm filing with the DA. It's a dead man case. I'll call you on the hearing.
Thank you. Mac? Mac?
Yeah?
They got him. Mac, they got him.
Well, thank God.
And now for the local news. A suspect in the Palisades murder was apprehended today at John's Market in Santa Monica.
Look at him.
Police identified the
man. Do you recognize him?
No, Robert Dube. Didn't recognize him the first time either.
I never saw him delivering here. Danilo says he's been in and out of jail his whole life. That's him. He's the one. He did it.
And he turned it off.
Just a minute.
Come on, turn it off. We don't want to see this again.
Just a minute, okay?
It's not a good thing.
I just want to watch it one more time.
She rewinds the video of Dube's arrest and plays it in slow motion. Karen and Mac come into the court lobby.
There he is.
Great.
Morning, Sergeant.
Sergeant Danilo?
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. McCann. My name's Howard Bollinger. I'm from the DA's office. Howard's going to be trying the case today.
Well, we were speaking to a Mr. Randall.
Yeah, what happened to Randall?
Mr. Randall's been transferred. I'm going to be handling the case from here on in.
What do you mean he was transferred? Why weren't we told about this?
Well, it's really all right.
We really got to get going.
This kind of thing happens all the time. Please try not to worry, Mr. and Mrs. McCann. I've reviewed the case very thoroughly. This is just a little pretrial motion that the defense has cooked up. The sergeant's done an excellent job. Our evidence is conclusive. We're in great shape.
Mac and Karen sit on a pew in a courtroom. Robert Dube comes in wearing blue prison overalls and handcuffs and flanked by two officers. He's in his late 20s with fair, slicked-back, collar-length hair and a goatee beard. He casts a cocky glance over at the McCanns, and Mac puts an arm around Karen. Dube sits down beside his attorney.
All rise. The Honorable Judge Arthur Younger presiding.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning,
Your Honor.
Please be seated.
Your Honor, I'd like to request that my client's handcuffs be removed.
That would be fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Dube's cuffs are taken off.
All right, counsel. Proceed with your motion.
Your Honor, the prosecution collected sperm samples from the victim for the purposes of DNA testing. As we know, there's no problem with this procedure, as long as the defense is given an equal opportunity to perform their own tests. Per the discovery rule, the prosecution agreed to supply the defense with at least 25% of the evidence for counter-examination. This evidence was never given to us, Your Honor.
Your Honor, the defense was never promised a percentage of the evidence. Ms. Juke was called and asked to participate in a mutual examination at the time the testing was conducted. She declined.
I have here a written stipulation from the DA's office promising the defense 25% of the sperm samples account for testing. I'd like to present it to the court.
Objection, Your Honor. I know of no such notification.
This document was prepared by your colleague, Mr. Randall.
May I see the document, Your Honor?
Karen turns to Mac.
What?
Wait a second.
Mr. Bollinger, where's the rest of that sample?
By the time we were able to obtain a clean sample, Your Honor, the 25% had already been utilized. But my office specifically offered Ms. Juke the opportunity to be
present. Your Honor, I respectfully request that the evidence in this case be found inadmissible on the grounds that the prosecution neglected to provide the defense with the evidence that was promised to us in writing.
Your Honor, may I suggest
this is an unfair, one-sided attack against my client, Your Honor, and a breach of the promise made by the prosecution to release that evidence to us.
Your Honor, that evidence conclusively identifies that man as the killer.
All right. All right. Counsel, can I talk to you off the record?
The judge leans over to Doob's attorney and D.A. Bollinger.
Do you have any other physical evidence?
The defense was promised a sample and they didn't get it. Randall promised it to him. This guy didn't know anything about it.
What is this?
It's all right.
All right, Counsel. Please return to your seats. The law requires that the defense shall have the opportunity to conduct their own DNA testing on all evidence presented to this court. Therefore, in the interest of justice, the court reluctantly grants the motion. Evidence will be suppressed.
Your Honor, I can submit the test for your examination.
The people have any additional evidence they can present to meet their burden of proof?
No, Your Honor.
Your Honor, the defense requests that the charges be dismissed.
Motion granted. Case dismissed.
The McCanns get up.
What are we going to do now?
How could you let this happen? At the
beginning. You're just going to let him walk right out of here?
Sorry.
Let's go. No, Mr. McCann!
Mac lunges at Doob, tackling him to the floor. Doob stares coldly at Mac as the officers drag him off. The officers pull Doob to his feet.
Now move it.
Chuckling, Doob swaggers out, followed by the officers. On a building site, Mac's on the telephone in a porter cabin with a McCann contractor's sign on its side.
Are you saying that she didn't come in this morning?
Right, I haven't seen her.
Well, can you speak up a little bit?
Karen has not come in. I'm a little worried.
She didn't call or anything?
No.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Bye.
He hangs up and sighs anxiously. Mac parks his black Jeep SUV on the street outside his house and runs inside. He turns off the burglar alarm.
Karen!
Mac runs upstairs and walks to the open bedroom door. Karen lies curled up on her side on their bed. Mac walks in, puts down his keys, and climbs over Karen to lay down beside her.
Hey.
What time is it?
It's almost one. You didn't go to work, huh?
I tried.
Gotta go to work. Gotta keep going. Gotta get up in the morning, eat breakfast. Take Megan to school, keep things moving. Can't quit, you know?
I'm just so tired and I can't sleep.
Oh, come on. We can get through this. We can do this. That's it, baby.
He pushes her shoes towards her.
Let's get out of the house, okay? Go have some lunch.
You're right. Huh? Gotta get going.
And people file out into the lobby of a civic building. Karen is among them. She holds a slip of paper and steps up to a woman at a reception desk.
Excuse me, I'd like to see a case filing.
Do you mean an arrest package?
An arrest package.
You have a case number?
Yes, I do. It's case number 95125.
Wait, 125.
95125.
104.
04.
The woman smiles and scrolls through a list of cases on her computer.
State versus Robert Dube?
Yes, that's it.
It'll be $15 for a copy.
All right.
The woman steps over to a drawer and flicks through the files. A portly man in a suit stands waiting behind Karen and drums his fingers on the desk. The woman prints out the arrest record sheet and then paints Tippex over some of the data.
What are you doing?
I'm making this so you can't read some of this information. It's classified.
What's classified?
The address.
Karen takes the sheet.
It's just white out. It ain't concrete.
Thank you.
Karen smiles and hands over the money. Later, in a toilet cubicle, she rubs the Tippex off the record sheet and wipes it clean with loo paper. She reads the revealed info. People of all sorts of ethnic backgrounds walk along a run-down inner-city street, and a man begs at the cars waiting at traffic lights. Karen, wearing her sunglasses and an LA Lakers baseball cap, is in one of the cars and checks a street map. She walks down another shabby street, checking the address on the arrest record. She looks over at a tatty-looking hotel, advertising rooms for $12.95. She goes into a cafe over the road and sits by the window, watching a couple of women arguing outside the hotel. Karen holds a pen and flicks open her Filofax. Dube swaggers out of the cheap hotel wearing black jeans and a tight white long-sleeved t-shirt. He smokes a cigarette and one of the arguing women walks up to him.
Hey, you got a cigarette?
He flicks it away.
Motherfucker, what the fuck you do?
Karen watches Dube strut down the street with a long keychain hanging between his belt and his pocket. She comes out of the cafe and crosses the road to keep him in sight. She follows Dube through the bustling pedestrians. Drinking from a takeout coffee, Dube sits down by a dumpster in an alleyway. Karen goes into an electrical shop and stays by the window so she can watch Dube. A dog sniffs at the garbage by Dube's feet, and he pours his coffee over its back.
Excuse me, ma'am. Could I help you with something? Excuse me, perhaps I could show you something.
Well, I... No, no thanks.
Dube walks away, kicking the dumpster. In her office at the museum, Karen writes down Dube's movements in her Filofax.
2:07 p.m. Location.
Dolly comes in.
Morning. Morning.
She gives Karen a coffee.
Cafe latte. Non-fat. You look better.
Thanks.
Even your desk looks better.
What, was my desk depressed?
I'd ask what you were doing, but I don't want to jinx it.
Dolly?
Yeah.
I followed Robert Dube yesterday.
What?
I watched him. I found out where he lives. And he never even knew I was there.
Did you tell anyone about this? Did you tell Mac?
No.
Don't. He'd go ballistic. Jesus Christ, Karen, what are you doing? This is insane.
Never mind. Honestly, I shouldn't have said anything.
Promise me you won't do anything like this again.
It was a dumb idea.
Dumb idea.
Very dumb idea.
Karen's parked over the road from a grocery store and watches Dube come out with some boxes and load them into the back of a small Jeep truck. Dube gets into the truck and motors off. Karen pulls away from the curb and follows him. Dube chuckles to himself as he swerves the truck through city traffic. A cigarette clenched between his teeth, Doob drives through town with Karen following at a discreet distance. Karen parks by the curb and watches Doob get out of the truck, carrying a box of groceries. Doob rings the buzzer on an iron gate outside a terrace of houses. He opens the gate, leaves the box on some steps, and closes the gate again, waving up at one of the houses. Doob drives onto another residential street and parks up outside a house. Again, Karen follows him and parks a discreet distance away. Doob takes a couple of carrier bags out of the truck, then spits out his cigarette and stamps it out. Karen watches him walk up to a door and ring the bell.
Me cargo Catalina, señorita.
He barks at the dog.
Fat piece of shit.
A young woman answers.
Hi.
Hi, hola.
You want me to help you carry these in? Un carriado,
No, 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 yo puedo.
Okay. You got that? All right. Okay.
Pero un momentito.
Sure.
Doob waits at the door while the attractive dark-haired woman goes inside with the bags. Doob leans inside and has a good look around, then acts casual as the woman comes back.
Aquí tienes.
Muchas gracias.
Okay, nos vemos. Adiós.
She gives him a tip and he goes. The woman closes her metal mesh security door. Doob walks onto the street and lingers, looking back at the house and swinging his keychain on his hip. He watches the woman through the security door, then steps up to the railings outside the houses and unzips his flies. He pees through the railings as he stares at the woman. In her car, Karen watches with a worried expression. Doob looks round and notices Karen's car. He stares at her and smirks as he zips up his flies. She quickly starts her engine and drives off, while Doob watches her with a cocky smile. At the police station, Karen's with Detective Danilo.
I think we've got him, but we've got to hurry. He's delivering groceries again. He made a delivery today to a woman, and then he went outside of her house and watched her. My God, he even marked his territory like a dog.
What? Have you been following him?
Yes, you've got to pick him up, you've got to grab him, you've got to get him right now.
Mrs. McCann, you can't go around following Robert Doob for your own safety. Do you understand me?
I know where he lives, I know where he works,
I don't know
her
how
address.
Else to explain this to you, Mrs. McCann. Robert Doob is a free man.
Yes, he's a free man and he's going to do it again.
It isn't right. I wish the hell it were different, but that's just the way it is.
I want you to pick him up, I want you to get him.
I know what you want, but the fact is I can't arrest him for standing on a street corner looking the wrong way.
Looking the wrong way? He wasn't just...
Yeah, I'll be right out.
You have got to do something.
Please, just stay the hell away from Robert Doob.
Karen's at the door of the woman Doob delivered to. The woman peeps through her blinds, then answers the door.
See?
Yes, hello, My name is Karen McCann. Could I come in and talk to you for a moment? Here's my card. I work for the Media Museum. Do you speak English?
Un poquito.
Oh, God. Mi en su casa, por favor. Muy importante. Please.
The woman nods cautiously and lets Karen in.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is very nice. Oh, God, how am I going to say this? I don't want to frighten you. I do want to frighten you, actually.
Ay, mira, señora, ya pagamos. No tenemos más dinero.
Money is... I know, I don't want any money. I want to warn you, you're in danger. Do you understand? There is a man, an hombre. He has been here before. You let him in.
Por favor, señora.
He works for the market.
Mira, por favor, señora.
You cannot let him in. I've been to the police.
¿Qué está pasando aquí?
I heard it, por fin.
Hello. Lady, what are you doing here?
Do you
here?
Speak English?
Yes, I speak English.
I need to warn you.
¿Qué? ¿De qué
there
habla?
Is a man, un hombre, who has
what
been
man?
Here. I have been to the police.
Look, lady, you upset my wife. I don't need help. You need help. Just leave us alone. Okay, just go, please.
You are in trouble.
Leave us alone, please. Thank you.
importante.
¿Qué importante? ¿Qué dejaste atrás en la casa?
¡Me gritas!
¡No estoy gritando! ¡No subes su voz conmigo a ti! Entonces.
Mira, me dio la tarjeta.
A mí no me importa.
Dark-haired, late-40s Detective Danilo steps up to the counter of the grocery store where Doob works and shows his police badge to the cashier.
Does Robert Doob work here?
Robert Doob?
Yes. Where is he?
Ah, 그 사람 저 뒤에 있어요, 뒤에.
Thank you.
The woman points. Doob's in a stockroom checking things off on a list as Danilo walks in. Doob glances at him, then looks back at his list unruffled.
You got a warrant?
Why? You done something wrong?
I don't do things I think are wrong. Hey, maybe you just came here for a sperm sample.
He shoves Doob against a wall.
Look, you piece of dog shit. I know what you are. You so much as piss on your toilet seat, I'll make you lick it clean.
Fuck you, greaseball.
Fuck me?
Fuck you. Come on, motherfucker. Blow my fucking head off. 5 people watched you come in here. Show me you got some balls. Pull the fucking trigger.
Danilo lowers his gun.
I didn't think so.
You keep your dick in your pants, or I'll cut an inch out of the middle. I hear about you looking in any more windows. You're dead.
Still panting from the first punch in the groin, Danilo gives him another.
Get out of my city.
Doob sinks to the floor. At the support meeting, Karen and Tony, the guy who lost his sister, watch a man fill his pockets with food.
I think he just comes here for the cookies. I mean, he's got half the tray. Maybe he wants friends.
Oh yeah, we're such a fun group.
The man nods at them and walks away from the table.
Never says anything, just nods and eats
Maybe
cookies.
Maybe that's his way of coping.
Yeah.
Some of us eat, some of us talk. Some of us talk about the people who eat.
Tony sits near a woman.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? Did you hear what happened to the Gratzes?
Divine intervention.
It should only happen to all of us, huh?
Amen.
Why? What happened to the Gratzes?
Well, the guy who killed their boy was killed.
How?
I think he was shot.
Mm-hmm.
When did this happen?
Like he'd been out
hey.
For...
Hey.
Hey. Hi. He's going 2 days. He's back in the old hood. Mm-hmm. Drive by.
Where's Mac? He's with Megan. Did you hear about what happened to the Gratzes?
Yeah. You know, I was wondering if you'd like to go to lunch someday.
Sure, I'd love it.
How about tomorrow?
Great.
At home.
In the Palisades murder was apprehended today at John's Market in Santa Monica.
Mac.
Police identified the man as 26-year-old Robert.
Do you believe in the death penalty?
As far as that guy's concerned, I do.
Why? Because it's just or you want revenge?
I don't know. It's just the way I feel. I don't know what I think. What's the point of watching that?
I'll turn it off, all right?
I'm sorry. What's the point?
Karen pauses the video of Doob's arrest and picks up a newspaper. She lowers the paper and stares at Doob's frozen face looking back from the TV. Next day, Karen and Angel are working out on ab crunch machines in a gym.
Roll it up. Up. Good, turn out. Bring the feet in. Now the ribcage kids, pull it in. Open the back, you got it.
You call this lunch? I call this entrapment.
If I'd warned you, you wouldn't have come.
Yeah, that's it. Knees together, ankles together. Remember what your mother told you.
What makes you so sure I wouldn't have come?
We're resisting feeling better.
Hold on.
Karen's smile fades. She stops and sits up.
It's not something I have a hell of a lot of control over.
I'll finish up round 2. Yeah.
I know. But it will get better, Karen. Focus on the good stuff. The good times with your daughter.
I think about her, the details.
I'm talking about Megan.
Kids play in a school playground. Megan's arguing with a little boy and goes into a Wendy house.
Stop it, uneasy!
No, you didn't. I did.
I did.
I did.
I did.
You did not.
Did two.
Did not.
Did two.
Did not.
Did two.
The boys suddenly yanked out.
Hey, you're pretty.
Doob kneels down.
Hi, Megan. Can I come in?
How did you know my name?
It's on the back of your t-shirt.
Do you want a mud pie?
Sure.
Megan takes a cake made of coloured clay out of a toy kitchen cupboard and gives it to him.
Thank you. You know, Megan, not all boys are mean.
I think I need to go now.
No, you don't.
Hustle, come on, you guys, everybody in.
The kids run to the school entrance. The boy Megan was arguing with is watching the Wendy house.
Take it easy going up the stairs.
Inside, Dude pretends to eat the clay cake.
Mmm, tasty.
You like some syrup?
Syrup, yeah, that's the best part. Thank you. Mmm. What about this one? Can I have this?
No, that's for my mommy.
But I want it.
That's tough.
Tough? Tough titty, said the kitty, but the milk's still good.
Tough titty, said the kitty, but the milk's still good.
That's right.
The boy goes over to the teacher, who's talking to another kid.
Hold on one second.
The remaining kids all run to the school, but Megan is still in the Wendy house. The boy gets tired of waiting for the teacher and goes into the school.
Thank you, Angel.
You'll be cursing me tomorrow, girlfriend.
For noticing. Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, well.
I don't talk to my friends much anymore. Either I don't call or they don't call. I don't know which.
Please, they're afraid.
I'd like to do this again. Maybe we could go out to dinner sometime.
Yeah, and bring Matt.
Are you married?
Yeah. Her name is Michelle.
Oh, well, bring Michelle.
Children flood out of the school. Karen stands on the street, watching expectantly. Megan runs over to her, holding a blue clay cake.
Holly! What are you doing here?
Sweetie, well, I thought I would come and pick you up today. Is that all right?
Yeah. What can I make for you?
Oh, did you make that for me? Look, a big cookie with candies in it. Mmm, looks good.
No, no. Don't eat it.
No? Okay, well, save it for dessert. Huh?
They cross the road.
Well, we're going to have to put this on the shelf with all the other goodies you've made for us.
I kind of like the blue one a little bit better.
You do, huh? Uh-huh. Well, I can tell.
Look, Mom. That's my friend from the playhouse.
Karen looks up the street, and her smile fades when she sees Doob swagger over from his truck. He slides his sunglasses up onto his head and waves at Megan. Karen can only stare wide-eyed.
Hey. Why don't you just stay out of my neighborhood? I'll stay out of yours.
He holds her head and leans close.
Because, you know, I don't even really like kitty pussy. But I'm willing to make an exception.
He leans down to Megan.
See you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
He stands up.
She's really beautiful.
Doob turns and walks away.
Bye.
Bye.
You have a nice day now.
That night, Karen puts Megan to bed.
Okay, get into bed. Here's Mr. Whiskers. There you go.
Megan kneels upright to hug Karen and kiss her.
Sleep well.
Megan's nightlight casts colourful revolving shapes onto the wall. Karen goes to the window, closes it, latches it, and pulls the curtains.
Good night, sweetie.
Good night, Mommy.
At the support group, Karen signs a petition.
All right, everybody, come on. We have a lot of work to do. There's two new petitions to sign. There's the Marlin petition and the Vedic petition. Oh, thank you, Karen and Jeremy. Hello, Lynn. Oh, it's so nice to see you.
Good to see you. How are you doing, Tom?
Karen sees the man that was secretly talking to Albert and Regina Gratz come in. She goes over to him.
Mr. Hughes?
Sydney.
Sydney. I'm Karen McCann.
Hi.
Actually, I was looking for your friends, the Gratzes. I heard about what happened to the man who murdered their boy.
Yes, I know about that.
I need some help.
That's what these meetings are for.
Mr. Hughes, I heard you talking to them upstairs that night. I know you can help me. Please.
Gray-haired, hangdog-faced Sydney glances behind him.
All right. There's a garage at 5th and Temple. Michael's garage. They're very helpful there.
All right, everybody, let's settle down, okay? Come on, quiet down.
7:30.
Angel, we're going to get started now.
Let's settle down. A lot of people have asked me if they can talk tonight, and I want everybody to have a chance. So who would like to go first?
A dark, desolate road in an industrial part of town. Headlights approach a flickering blue vertical neon sign. Garage. The car indicates and pulls onto the forecourt. Karen opens a metal door and steps into the garage, which is harshly lit by fluorescent strip lights. It seems to be empty.
Hello?
Cars are parked bumper to bumper, and more vehicles are up on hydraulic lifts. Karen walks across the workshop to a small, lit office.
Hello?
Back here.
Hi.
Hi.
In.
I didn't know it was you. Oh, hello. Hey, what the hell are
Just
you doing?
Just making sure you're not wired. Have a seat.
Thanks.
Coffee?
No, thank you.
You want to tell us why you're here?
You know why I'm here. The man who raped and murdered my daughter is free. He got away with it.
This is my son.
Martin picks up a framed picture.
They never found a killer.
Mrs. McCann, Martin and I have both lost loved ones in a situation where someone was to blame.
Why are you really here?
Martin shuts the door.
I'm not here. I can't rest. I'll never ever rest again till he pays for what he did to her. I need you to help me.
Martin glances at Sydney, then looks at Karen.
Do you know how to defend yourself? Physically?
Other than running like hell?
This is no joke, Mrs. McCann. We're not here for kicks. We all have other lives. We'd much rather be somewhere else. The thing is, we're sticklers for justice. Since you can't count on the system to provide it.
Justice. Do you think you're capable of going through with this?
Can you deal with the consequences?
Look, guys, I'm here, all right?
Okay. We can help you get your hands on a weapon. We can show you where to train. We'll help you plan the hit. But you'll have to pull the trigger yourself.
I see.
Do you? Desperately wanting someone dead and actually killing them, that's two different things.
Shooting paper is very different than shooting through flesh.
You want to think this over? You don't have to commit tonight.
I'm in. Two! Good! One! Keep going! Pull.
Karen's in a martial arts class. Now, firearms training.
Okay, let's pay attention, everybody. Here we go. It's okay to be scared, okay? Way to relax. Just grab the gun. Go ahead. There's your target over there. That's it. Okay, just extend your arm out. Bring the other one underneath it. Right here. Good. Just relax. Relax. Spread your feet out just a little tiny bit. Good. Good. Okay, there's your target. I want you to breathe. I want you to hold it. Hold it. Squeeze. Come on. Squeeze.
Now, Karen wears goggles and ear protectors and seems a lot more confident firing a pistol. At home, Karen chops a tomato on a board. Megan draws a picture and Mac washes lettuce in the sink. As she chops, Karen's eyes widen and she envisions Julie answering the door to Doob.
Mama! Mama?
Oh, damn it!
Never mind.
Karen, Megan was trying to show you something.
If you could just pay her a little attention.
I have a lot on my mind.
Well, so do I.
It's different. She wasn't your daughter.
What did you just say? You are not the only one who lost Julie. I lost her, too. So did Megan. Don't you ever say that to me again.
Later that night, Karen's brushing her hair. Max getting ready for bed with his back to her.
Mac.
She was my daughter, Karen. I raised her with you. I loved her. And I miss her. Just as much as you do.
Karate class.
I could take him anywhere I want. From this position, he's open. You can commit kick into the body or the front kick into the groin that we learned. Then, also, just another...
At home, Max steps over to the back window and looks out at Karen pushing Megan on a swing. Karen looks preoccupied and stares into space. With Martin and Sydney in the garage office.
Now, this is the building where he lives. He usually comes down this street and parks in this parking lot right over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the little alleyway right here, that's where you stand, right at that alley.
Okay.
Now, when you hear his Jeep pull up, wait till he turns the ignition off. When he opens the Jeep door, when you hear that door open, you step out and...
Karen practices on the shooting range. She leaves a group support meeting with Angel.
See y'all.
I don't know. If we could just get inside his head, you know, if we could just get him to speak.
Well, he's been depressed all the time I've been here. I don't see any change in him at all.
So listen, I'm parked over here.
Over here.
I'll see ya.
Bye. See ya.
See you next Tuesday.
Good night.
Karen walks across a dark, empty plaza. She glances behind her and quickens her pace. She rounds a corner. A male figure walks some yards behind her. Karen jogs across the road to an underground car park. She walks into the deserted car park, the figure following her. The figure, a tall, suited man, walks through the car park, as Karen suddenly springs out from behind a pillar.
Here, take my wallet.
Oh, I don't want your money. I thought you were following me. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm not following you. I'm parked right there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, me too.
I hope I didn't hurt you too bad.
You did.
The man hobbles off towards his car. Karen walks away but allows herself a little smile of satisfaction. That night, Karen lies on her back in bed with Mac on top of her, kissing. Karen rolls over so Mac's on his back and she's on top. She pushes his hands up against the pillow.
Hey, hey, hey.
She kisses him hungrily.
Whoa.
Unsettled, Mac pushes her back.
Hey.
They embrace, roll over, and kiss. Later, the house is in darkness.
Daddy! No,
Daddy!
No.
I'll go.
Daddy!
Karen gets up and goes to Megan's room.
Megan? Honey?
Where's Daddy?
He's sleeping.
She crouches by Megan's bed.
Did you have a bad dream? Do you want to tell me about it?
Megan shakes her head.
Mama?
Yeah?
Are you still mad?
Mad at who? At you? Sweetie, I was never mad at you. Is that what you think?
It was my birthday.
Karen's shoulders sag.
You think because it was your birthday, Julie died?
Megan nods.
Oh, Meg. Sit up, honey.
She hugs Megan.
Listen to me. It was not your fault.
Sometimes when terrible things happen, we act in ways that others can't understand. I've just been so sad, Megan.
Mama?
Yeah?
Will you sleep with me tonight?
I would like that. Will you let me?
Megan nods and shuffles over. Karen gets into bed and lays down beside her. They face each other, their foreheads touching. Boob stands in his squalid apartment, watching a rock video on TV and hitting his legs with drumsticks. Staring at the TV, Doob drums his legs with greater intensity, his eyes stern and icy. He throws his drumsticks across the room. He opens his fridge and takes out a tub of ice cream. Doob opens the tub, picks up a spoon, and eats some as he walks out onto his balcony. He looks out over the grimy, run-down street. He sits on the balcony wall and leans against an unlit liquor sign. Sydney and Martin are in the garage office.
So you trust her?
Yeah, I trust her completely.
She doesn't seem like a killer to me.
I am not worried.
I don't like her type. Her hands are too clean.
You know, you need to relax.
We just like this with the Grudges, too. No, gotta go.
You pick it up yet?
On my way.
Is it 38?
Yep. That's what she's most comfortable with. Hey, look. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Hello, Michael's Garage.
Hi, Martin. This is Mrs. Benedetti.
Hi, Mr. Benedetti. Listen, your car is all ready.
Oh, great. When can I pick it up?
Now, it's going to be a little bit more expensive than I estimated.
You told me it was going to be $350.
I know what I told you. The bad news is we had to replace your brakes.
Martin, you keep doing this to me every time I put the car in.
Well, listen, it happens with the normal wear and tear of a car.
That's what you told me last time with the battery, and we changed three times. Martin, I don't have $250 more.
A man sits in a van listening in to the phone call. In a restaurant, Sydney lays a brown paper parcel in front of Karen.
You want some more tea?
No, thanks.
Thanks.
Go on, take it. Put it in your purse.
Karen picks up the parcel.
If you don't have the stomach for this, it's all right. You don't have to do it.
I can do it.
The support group.
It's like I got some kind of disease. It's like I'm an idiot.
My dear, you mustn't give up.
It's 15 months for a court date.
You have to keep...
Karen's with Angel.
Did they ever catch Sean's killer?
Angel shakes her head.
Sorry.
Don't do it, Karen.
What?
It's not gonna bring her back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You get caught. I'm telling you this because I'm your friend.
Karen shakes her head noncommittally. Later that night, Karen comes home and carefully closes the front door. She takes off her coat and walks across the dark living room. A lamp is suddenly switched on by Mac, who sits in an armchair.
Mac, what are you doing?
Sitting here. Waiting for you.
The meeting ran a little late. I'm gonna have a cup of tea. You want one?
Yeah, I tried to call you today. Dolly said you were having lunch with me.
Dolly's confused.
Where were you?
I had lunch alone. Why?
Mac puts her membership card for the shooting range down on the table.
You've been going there almost every afternoon. From 12 to 1:30. You've been going there for 3 weeks. And you've been lying to me.
You called there?
What the hell are you doing, Karen?
I'm learning to use a gun.
What the hell for?
So I can defend myself, okay?
Well, why didn't you tell me about it?
Look, I'm learning a lot of other things, too. I'm picking an exercise class, a defense class. If you'd looked in my wallet, you would have seen that.
No, don't say that to me. Don't frame this on me.
I have every right to defend myself.
Well, I don't understand why you couldn't tell me about this.
It helps me, okay? It helps me get it all out.
Well, get it out with me. I don't care what you do. Scream, yell, break everything in this fucking house. Just stop lying to
me. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Karen takes a mug out of a cupboard.
Did you buy one? A gun?
No.
Max smiles.
Jeez, I don't know, Karen. I don't know. Maybe we should just get out of here for a while.
Where would we go?
Someplace unfamiliar where nobody knows us. We could just be ourselves.
Could you take a few weeks off?
Yeah. Yeah, I could do whatever it takes. Can you?
She looks down thoughtfully. A little kid comes out of an apartment block and runs down to the security gate, where Karen is checking names by the entry phone. As the kid opens the gate and runs out into the street, Karen holds the gate open and goes through. She steps into the smart, comfortably furnished hallway of the building and knocks on a door by the entrance. The door is opened by the little boy from Angel's photos. Karen's eyes widen in surprise.
Sean. Is your name Sean?
Uh-huh.
Is your mommy here?
Which one?
Angel comes into the room.
Karen.
Followed by another woman.
This is my son, Sean. And that's Michelle. Hi.
Hello.
Sean, why don't you come help me with something?
Mom, can I have some money for a smoke cone, please?
Okay. Why don't we sit down?
I don't want to sit down.
Sean goes, leaving Karen and Angel alone in the living room.
Who are you?
I know, I lied about Sean being killed. I'm sorry.
I don't understand. I thought you were like me, we were going through things. Why the hell would you lie about a thing like that?
I was in those meetings investigating vigilante activity. I work undercover. I'm with the FBI.
Oh my God.
Karen turns and stares out of the window. Angel steps up behind her.
If you walk away now, Karen, you'll be okay.
How could you pretend to be
just
my friend?
Just walk away.
I can't let him go.
You gotta let the law deal with this.
I tried that.
Okay, let me spell it out for you. It's against the law to kill another human being unless it's in self-defense. They won't care why you did what you did. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison.
Angel stares at Karen, then looks out at the children in the street.
Besides, what legacy are you leaving your little girl? You gotta ask yourself, Karen. What are you trying to teach Megan?
Karen also looks out of the window. Sean's among excited kids gathered around a snow cone vending cart. Karen comes out of Angel's building and walks down to the security gate. At a big outdoor party, Dolly blows out a candle on a birthday cake.
Those candles, Dolly.
With your Christmas bonus.
Good answer. You deserve that.
Karen smiles but stands apart from the well-wishers. She turns away and goes back into the museum. She steps into an empty boardroom, puts down her paper cup and picks up the phone.
It's me.
Karen.
I'm out. Okay?
What do you mean?
I can't. Sorry.
She hangs up, then sits down at the long table. The Mexican lady's house.
El macardo, Catalina, señorita!
Doob's outside with a box and bags of groceries.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Got a lot of groceries. Muchas cosas.
Sí, vamos a tener una cena mañana.
¿Te ayudó?
No, es bien. Ese perro. Espera un momentito.
The woman takes the bags from Doob, leaving him standing outside with the box. He glances round, then goes into the house, kicking the door shut behind him. In the kitchen, the woman glances round, a little nervously. Doob stares at her, then puts on a smile and wanders across the living room, rocking the box.
Muy pesado.
She takes the box from him.
Yo puedo.
Got it.
Sí. Espérame.
Sure. Just take your time.
She takes the box into the kitchen. Doob sits down at a circular glass table and drums his fingers. The woman takes a banknote from her purse and cautiously steps into the living room, holding the note out to Doob.
Aquí tienes.
He stands up and stares at the note, then takes it and unfolds it.
$5. Muchas gracias.
De nada.
He makes to go, then turns back. He slams her against a shelving unit, then throws her down onto the glass table. She struggles and kicks her legs, and Doob swipes her across the face with his gloved hand. He holds her around the neck and flips her over onto her front, blood running from her mouth onto the glass. Doob holds her down and rapes her. Evening's fallen and police cars are parked outside the house, which has been cordoned off with incident tape. The woman's body is still lying sprawled across the table, her dead eyes staring glassily into space. Karen and Dolly are working at the museum.
Do we have a final confirmation from Friedlander
well,
yet?
Well, I talked to his assistant and he said yes, but I couldn't get him on the phone again, as usual.
May I ask his call?
When are you and Mac taking off?
Yeah, hang on.
Tomorrow morning.
There's a Detective Danilo on line 2. You want me to take a message?
No, I'll get it.
Later, she's at the police station.
At least it's over. You got him.
We're holding him for 48 hours. Then I'm gonna have to let him go.
Why?
I've got zero, that's why. I don't have the case.
He killed two people. You know that and I know that.
But I can't prove it.
What do you mean you can't prove it?
And I can't hold him. He'll sue the city and end up with his own goddamn talk show.
What are you saying to me?
Like it or not, he's got rights.
What about my daughter's rights? What about that other woman's rights? They've got no rights.
You're yelling at the wrong man, Mrs. McCann.
I told you this was going to happen. I warned you. I was a witness. I saw him.
You saw him 3 weeks ago. It's circumstantial.
Fingerprints.
Oh, we've got tons of fingerprints all over the house. We've got his hair. We've got carpet fibers. But he delivered their groceries. His prints belong in the house. Everything I have on him is worthless.
What?
He even used a condom.
A condom? Of course he wore a condom. He's smarter than you are. Why don't you offer him a candy bar? Maybe he'll confess.
We're doing the best we can.
Well, he is miles ahead of you. He knows exactly what he's doing, which is more than I can say for you.
You want to do this? You want to play this game? What makes you so goddamn special? You know how many murder cases I see in a week? How many bodies? I walk through blood every single day, Mrs. McCann.
And you can't catch him. You can't punish him and you can't protect anyone else. You're completely useless.
I don't have to take this shit from you. I hear it every day. From the lawyers, the media, and the scumbags out in the street. And you know something? Right now, you don't sound a whole lot different from them.
Yeah? How's this? Fuck you!
She storms out of his office. Doob is released from the cells and walks along a corridor between two police officers. Out in his run-down neighborhood, he buys an ice cream from a street vendor. He throws down his cigarette and glances up at a passing helicopter. He strolls off down the street. It's evening, and Karen knocks on the door of the museum, waking up the security guard.
Tony? Tony, it's me, Karen. I left something in the office.
Fluorescent lights come on as Karen walks down an empty corridor. She goes into her office, turns on the light, and gathers together a couple of large filing boxes. In the underground car park, she puts the boxes into the boot of her car, then drives away. Next morning in the kitchen, Max on the phone.
What do you mean they're gone?
They're gone. They've disappeared. I don't know where
they are. Hang on. Karen, it's Dolly. She's hysterical about something.
All right, keep going. Dolly? Mm-hmm. Well, they were in the boxes in my office. You saw them there yesterday. Dolly, slow down, all right? I can hardly understand you. I know we can't have the press conference without them, but I know that they're there. Well, look again, Dolly. You know I'm going away. What am I supposed to do? Snap, please. You and Megan go on. I'll be up there tomorrow. I have to help Dolly straighten this out.
Why can't Dolly deal with this on her own?
Well, you heard her on the phone.
Well, we'll wait for you. What's another day?
No, I want
to
go now.
We were all going to do this together. That's the idea.
This is my responsibility. I can't just walk out on them. You don't trust me.
Not particularly.
That's not fair. Maybe I'll be there tonight. It's just a few hours.
Okay. We'll meet you up there.
Okay.
All right.
Karen turns to Megan.
Okay, sweetie, buckle up. You're going on up with Dad. I'll be there as soon as I can. You can get the house all set up for me. Give me kisses.
Bye, Mama.
Bye, honey.
Drive carefully.
You too.
Bye. Okay, you're the navigator, so here.
Mac and Megan go. Karen, wearing her LA Lakers baseball cap, is parked over the road from the store where Doob works. She watches the store in her wing mirror and sees Doob stroll out. She adjusts the mirror to keep her eye on him as he walks up to a large Budweiser delivery truck. Karen pulls away. Later, she stands by some roadworks outside the cheap hotel where Doob lives. She runs across the road, goes into the hotel lobby, and steps up to a man sitting behind a wire mesh safety grill at the front desk.
Excuse me. I work for the Department of Water and Power. My boss out there told me to tell you we're about to shut your electricity off.
What are you talking about?
Well, it'll only be off till tomorrow morning. Is that all right?
The man slams down his newspaper and marches out. Karen sneaks through the open door in the security cage and checks Doob's arrest sheet, then takes his key from a selection of hooks behind the desk. Doob walks out of the store and tosses a cigarette into his mouth. Karen walks down the dingy hotel corridor. She comes to Doob's room, unlocks it, and goes inside, closing the door behind her. She looks around the untidy room. Doob swaggers down a street, a cigarette dangling from his lips. Karen opens a drawer and tosses stuff out onto the floor. Doob exhales smoke as he walks along the sidewalk. Karen tosses stuff out of a plastic box, then opens a chest at the foot of Doob's bed and throws out dozens of porn magazines. Wearing sunglasses, Doob approaches the hotel. Karen slings bric-a-brac off a table and picks up a creased framed photo of a smiling fair-haired woman. Out on the street, Doob crushes out his cigarette. Karen takes off her baseball cap and runs her fingers through her dark brown hair, then opens a drawer and finds the red clay cake that Megan gave to Doob. She picks up the cake and stares at it and lays her cap down on the TV. Doob strolls into the hotel lobby. He swaggers down the corridor and comes to his room to find the door ajar. He pauses and glances up and down the corridor, then pushes the door open with his foot. He slowly walks into the room to find it ransacked, all his stuff lying strewn across the floor. He kicks a pillow and seethes as he looks around. Then he spots Karen's cap still lying on the TV. He picks it up and stares at it with a sardonic laugh.
You bitch.
Mac and Megan drive through the country.
E-I-E-I-O, an honest farmie had a
cow.
E-I-E-I-O, with a moo-moo here and moo-moo there. Here, moo, there, moo, everywhere, moo-moo, old MacDonald.
Doob, wearing Karen's baseball cap, sits on a bus which drives through the nighttime city streets. At home, Karen loads 3 CDs into a stereo. She turns on a reading lamp as she walks out of the living room and goes upstairs. Framed in the cold blue moonlight, Doob swaggers up Karen's street. He glances behind him and watches a police car turn a corner. Karen gets into the shower and closes the curtain. Doob stands behind a tree and watches the house. Mac and Megan drive along a dark country road.
Tough titties and bikini, but the milk's still good.
Where'd you hear that from?
From the man at the playground at school.
What man?
The man that Mommy watches on the video.
What? Did you tell your Mommy about this?
Yeah, she saw him. She talked to him.
Shut!
Mac swerves the car around and grabs his mobile phone.
Try to call your mom.
Doob climbs a fence, in the car.
Damn!
Max slams down the phone. Doob stalks across the McCann's back garden. He comes to their back door and peers through the window. He picks up a doormat, holds it against the window, and thumps it. The curtain is still closed around the shower. Doob walks across the McCann's hallway and looks around at the nicely decorated house. He looks up, takes off the baseball cap, and hangs it on the banister of the stairs. Wearing dark jeans, a white long-sleeved t-shirt, short-sleeved shirt, and black leather gloves, Doob climbs the stairs. He smirks as he reaches the landing. The bathroom door is ajar, and he paces towards it. He pushes it open and looks at the tall, slim shape behind the shower curtain. He yanks the curtain open and finds the shape to be a bath towel hanging over the window. Doob frowns and turns, coming face to face with Karen, aiming a pistol at him.
Sorry to disappoint you.
His nervous face becomes cocky.
What are you gonna do, shoot me?
You broke into my house with the intent to do me bodily harm. The law says I have the right to protect myself.
Boy, you want me to say I'm sorry? Could have been anybody. I don't even remember what she looked like. It's nothing personal.
She was 17 years old. She was 5'2". She had brown eyes. Her name was Julie. She was my daughter.
She was a great fuck.
He lunges at her. The gun goes off, shooting a hole in the wall. Karen drops the gun and wrestles with Doob on the stairs. She kicks at him and they tumble down the stairs. Doob clamps his hands around her neck and she hits him in the nose with the heel of her hand. He grabs her ankle and she kicks free, crawling down the remaining stairs. She tumbles onto the floor and lies on her back, looking up at Doob, who stands, laughs, and wipes blood from his nose.
Like I said,
Nothing personal.
Karen picks up the gun and points it straight at him.
It's very personal.
She shoots him in the arm and he stumbles. She shoots him in the stomach, then again, then in the chest. Doob collapses forward and lands on top of her. Trapped underneath Doob's body, Karen's eyes dart from side to side. She pushes him off her, his blood staining her white top. Karen lies on the floor panting. Doob lies beside her, his dead eyes gazing up at the ceiling. Karen sits tensely in a wooden chair. She's still sitting there while cops mill around gathering evidence. Detectives try to question her.
At approximately what time did you become aware that there was an assailant in the house, ma'am?
Was the assailant alone, ma'am?
Do you think it was possible you were followed home?
Ma'am, how can we get in touch with your husband? Does the gun belong to you?
Anyone else in the house, ma'am?
We should get you to the hospital, get you checked out.
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Danilo faces her.
I know what you've done here.
What?
I've been doing this a long time. You haven't fooled me.
Prove it.
A half smile flits across his face. Mac and Megan approach the police cars and ambulances outside the house.
Daddy!
What the hell is going on?
Daddy, what happened?
Megan, I want you to stay in the car.
So what do you think?
Armed suspect forced entry through the back door and assaulted with intent. Clear case of self-defense.
Mac's black Jeep SUV stops outside the house, and Mac jumps out.
Sir,
listen, please.
This is my home.
Clear.
It's my house. I live here. That's my daughter in the car. Stay with her.
Whoa.
A detective holds up his hands defensively as Mac strides in. Mac looks down and sees Doob's corpse being zipped into a body bag. He looks into the living room and sees Karen sitting alone on the couch. She looks over at him. Mac glances outside at Megan watching him from inside the Jeep. Mac sits beside Karen on the couch and holds out his hand. She slides her hand into his, and he holds his other hand on top of it supportively. Detectives go about their business, and Doob's body is wheeled out on a gurney. The screen fades to black. ITFC audio description.